Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John Stamey. So glad to be with everybody tonight on this chilly fall evening. excuse me, as we head on into the holiday season, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I know Dave Atwell has a fun story to tell us about his holiday antics at his shop today, and we got Todd with us, and Josh Mayers will be with us. So first of all, I want to say greetings to the one and only to the crankiest guy who has to listen to an even more cranky guy when I call me. It's Dave Atwell. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very well. I hope everybody's doing fine tonight. Looking forward to having Josh on the show, first time for him. And, great talent, great young man, and looking forward to having him on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're glad to have him. And how have you been? You be good?
I'm outstanding, supernatural, and just ecstatic to be here. It is a Wednesday night. We're getting all kinds of little stuff going on. Tomorrow we're doing a potluck, and I heard there was another name for a potluck, and it kind of messed me up the other day. I've known them as potluck all my life, but
I've heard them called indigestion central, but that's okay. Anyway.
Man, it is reason for that. Just for the record, I've been got my stuff prepped, dragging in the crock pot, going to be making the queso dip with the sage sausage, some picante, and I got all the cheese cut down, ready to rock and roll.
Well, that sounds good. I've had that before. It's absolutely delicious. So anyway, glad both of you are here. Josh will be with us in just a second. Now, Dave, as we were talking a little earlier today, do you mind, can you tell the story of Christmas tree selection? It was too funny.
Yeah, it's one of those things you deal with whenever you're dealing with the public. And Lord knows, after all these years, it's my level of patience with the public is not what it used to be. But nevertheless, had a lady today that came up and tied me up for an hour, and I had to go through upwards around 60 Christmas trees with this lady.
Well, wait a minute. You were tied up for an hour. Did it leave any marks?
No, I wouldn't be that lucky. And dare I say, I would not want to be tied up by this lady anyway. Feeling a little like James Caan. But Mr. Man, but she kept saying, "I'm very particular about my Christmas trees. I'm very particular about it." And I says, "Well, if you're very particular about it, what the hell are you doing going to a grocery store to pick up your Christmas tree?" I says, "Go to a place where they chop the thing down when you walk through and you go, 'Hey, I like that one.'" And some kid goes out there with a bow saw and cuts the thing in front of you, and they net it and you move on your way. Whatever you do, for God's sake, don't go to a grocery store where the things have been sitting in a truck and then leaned up against the wall, And oddly enough, another little thing that kind of resonates is we're getting Christmas trees, 16th, 17th, 18th. I think they came in on the 15th. And I'm going, wow. That's 15 plus 25. That's 40 days out of Christmas. Yeah, I'm not going to call it a fire hazard, but I would dare say that thing was going to be drier than a rice cake turd when Christmas time comes along. So, I mean, in the event you're doing a live tree and you're already going out there and picking it up now, for God's sakes, folks, here's my fire marshal bill word of the season is water the hell out of that thing, because God knows what it's going to be like. And trim the bottom off it, too. Just don't put it in the stand. Cut about a half inch off the bottom of it so it gets a fresh pull off that water. But, yeah, I hope she enjoys that tree, because God knows if it didn't take a day where I was just had it on cruise control and turned it into a, oh my God. And the whole idea behind the retirement was to reduce and or eliminate the stress at work. And yeah, she made me feel like I was back at it again.
So you're the head of industry.
Well, I was curious, did she try to pay with EBT?
Oddly enough, she did not. She did kindly enough thank me, which was pretty neat, because normally you do all that and they just, ease on down the road.
Well, we're glad you made it out alive and all that good stuff.
That's why people say season's greetings, and I say season's beatings.
So I'm going to say you're not pining to see her again.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I'm a fur not.
Oh, you're a fur not. All right. Well, you know what? To save you from continuing to do your audition for the Comedy Cabana, Dave, I would like to introduce our guest tonight, Josh Mayers. Josh, how are you doing tonight?
Josh,
I'm doing pretty good. Hello?
Now, what was all that?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
I was trying to ask him a question, Todd.
Well, hey, just look, Dave knows, as well, I've been waiting to get Josh on the show for a long, long time, so I'm ecstatic to have him here. Long time no see, brother.
Hey, how you doing, man? How's it been?
It's been, man. It's everything is everything, man. That's all I can say.
I am on that.
Well, it is. Todd, that's very correct.
The picks of the kids growing like a weed, brother.
That's great. So anyway, I guess we're all here, and everybody else is listening to the debate or the recap of today's impeachment hearings. I loved it. They had Sondland on the European Union ambassador, and I've never heard anybody get so confused in my life. It was great. I mean, it was better than Three Stooges Live. And so that's that. And we have the debate on tonight, and we don't care about politics right now. We're here to have fun. So, Josh, you're one of our favorite artists. Tell us a little bit about what you draw, why you draw, and why you like to draw. Can you do that?
Well, yeah, sure thing. A lot of the stuff that I draw usually pertains to anything in pop culture, whether it's video games, comic books, movies, some anime, et cetera, anything that people are kind of into. Why I draw, it's something I've been doing since I can remember. In fact, I went to school for it, got my bachelor's at UNCW, and I've been trying to put it to use ever since, but in a place like Jacksonville, it's quite difficult. But I've done a few shows here and there and got my work out there, had my comic book published by Kablam Publishing, sold a few issues of those, and it's the sense of self accomplishment. It's a good feeling, and at the end of the day, it's a good thing to see people appreciate your work whenever you're out there trying to promote yourself and whatnot.
I agree.
Awesome.
I was just laughing. I'll never forget. Some people said, "Do you play the piano?" And I said, "Sure." So I sat down and I played Linus and Lucy by Vince Guaraldi, and I did a really good job. And I turned around and I said, "What'd you think?" And the guy said, "I don't like jazz." It's like, oh God. Josh, you know what I mean? You do your best work and you here it is, and someone says, "Oh, okay. Whatever." But yeah,
that's the neat thing about art though. Like, everyone has their taste. So something I draw that looks awesome to one person might mean nothing to another person, you know what I'm saying? So everyone has their taste and their preferences as far as art style goes and whatnot. I'm sure it goes with, you know, comic collectors whenever they're purchasing issues. They have their favorite taste of artists that are drawing on their current run of issues and whatever. So we all have our different tastes of stuff, you know?
Yes,
oh,
we
definitely.
Do. So, yeah.
But I was saying about a story where Josh was at one of your shows, Dr. John, and he was just playing with the sketch and didn't even get to get it finished and got it sold.
Well, that was good.
Sketching on the spot is, I always think sketching on the spot is kind of like a test of an artist to see what they can do kind of under pressure or whatever, you know, to come up with something real quick and so whatever people want commission. I always have a blast with it because sometimes I get to draw stuff that I normally wouldn't draw, you know.
Nice.
But it's all practice in the end, you know.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing to draw if you had to pick one?
You know what? I'm only saying this just because it's the one thing I can think of as far as when I was younger. Like, my warm-up character that I would draw would be Akuma from Street Fighter. He was a character that I would draw just to kind of loosen up my my line work, whatever, to just to work on anything. I wouldn't even be drawing or working on an Akuma picture, but I would just draw him to kind of warm up to whatever I was doing. So I'm going to go with that. But sometimes, I mean, I'll even draw some Legend of Zelda characters. Again, you know, drawing characters from video games and all that. I kind of draw stuff that inspires me. And stuff that usually has a lot of detail because I love that kind of stuff, man. All the intricate details and armor and clothing and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing about Josh, you know, when you watch him at the shows and everything. One of the things I've always marveled at his work, you know, because, you know, I do a little bit of art on the side, dabbling around and everything. But for me, I've got to have the mojo. If I'm not in the mood to draw X, I can't draw it. And, you know, people will walk right up to him and say, you know, hey, draw me a picture from, you know, Assassin's Creed. And he pulls it up on his phone, takes a look at it. Next thing you know, blap, 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 going to town. Whereas if somebody come up and asked me to do that, I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, shucks. Because I'm not, you know, whereas if I'm in that zone, and Josh will tell you, I'm probably, you know, the Joker is one of my favorite ones to draw. You know.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you draw some of that.
Yeah, you know, Carnage, you know, Venom, those guys and everything. You know, your mojo is there, but if somebody was to walk up and say, hey, man, you know, draw me a picture of Spider-Man, yeah, I'd vapor lock. But Josh has the ability just to sit down and go, okie doke, and goes to town. And I tell you what, some of the stuff that he does, and it's been a pleasure watching him grow in the 3 years of, you know, we've known each other. And when he's at the shows, I mean, he's going to town and folks are, you know, they're not only getting more and more interested, but they're getting to know this young man. And that's the big thing, getting your name out there and getting people to realize what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing. So, yeah, I've always marveled at his work and what he does when he's at these shows. A very talented young man. I'm proud of him.
I appreciate the words, Dave. I mean, you've been kind of like a mentor to me all these years, man. I've seen what you do at the shows and see, like, how people just come up to you like you're an idol, man. And I think highly of you. I always speak highly of you, man. So it's funny, you know, talking about doing the sketches on the spot because lately, the past couple shows I've done, I honestly haven't done too many sketches on the spot just because I've got all this work laid out. And honestly, like, I just get to talking with people and, you know, scrolling through the sketch or not sketchbooks, the portfolios, you know, catching, you know, what they're interested in and just having conversations about different characters, shows or, you know, whatever they're looking at. And it's just, sometimes it's hard to kind of get on the – get to sketching at some of these shows. You know, the last show I did was the Greenville show, the Greenville Con. And it was probably the best show I've done so far, to tell you the truth. And that 8 hours, man, I did really well. And it was just a good experience. I mean, I'm looking forward to more. I'm praying next year I'm going to be hitting up a lot more cons and whatnot, but just got to figure out the work situation. You know, that's the thing with artists. Unfortunately, we have to have that full-time or part-time job on the side to kind of help things out, you know?
Yeah. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, it does, sure. Dave. Life really gets in the way.
Yeah, it's when folks ask me about the book series and everything, you know, it's and it's always flattering to have people tell you that they love. As a matter of fact, there was a guy from high school that got hold of me yesterday, was asking about my brother. He said, by the way, really enjoyed your books, man. And it just come out of nowhere. That's always very flattering to hear. And, you know, you get on Amazon, you see you got the, you know, 4.5-star ratings and all that kind of jazz, and it gives you the warm fuzzy. But then you pull up your book sales and you go, oh, shucks, they're going to shut my water on it. You know what I mean? So it's Josh is absolutely right. You've got to and the thing is sometimes that, you know, like here in Jacksonville, if you're not in the core, you're waiting tables or you're selling something. And
yep.
Unfortunately, it's a merciless, your schedule of spaghetti. You don't know whether you're going to be, you know, going in the morning, staying late at night. You're at the mercy of big, you know, big corporation. And, you know, without me getting all my soapbox about, you know, how the Waltons, they're laying off help, but yet the Walton children bag right around $130 million a piece in stock dividends quarterly. And again, that is quarterly. So, you know, you got to figure they make a little more than half of $500 million each child, the three that are living. So combined, you're looking at, you know, God, what is that, $1.5 billion they make annually in stock dividends, but yet they're laying off help or cutting back time and that kind of jazz. And, yeah, it's sad, you know, but here in Jacksonville, that's pretty much the gist of everything. And
I agree.
You know, yeah, sometimes after you bag, you know, 5 to 8 hours worth of dealing with the public, whether it's serving tables or, you know, stocking shelves or running a register or whatever, you get home and your brains are just mush. And sometimes you just don't even, you know, the things that you enjoy, whether they be a hobby or even bad habits, for crying out loud. There are times you come home and you won't even get up and go get a beer because you're just you know,
defeated.
Yeah, gone with it. So, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, you got to keep your nose to the grindstone. You got to keep fresh. You got to keep in you got to keep limber, if you will, with your art. Because if you don't, it's almost like starting from day one.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, in all honesty, not that I've been out of practice, but, you know, I just had the youngin' earlier this year, so I'm kind of playing the stay-at-home dad role during the week. And, you know, watching him, you know, not that it's a bad thing, but it really consumes up a lot of my time just making sure he's okay. But every now and then, just for practice, I'll just pick up the iPad. And, you know, as far as the digital stuff goes, it's really convenient because I can just, you know, doodle real quick and not have to worry about, you know, throwing away paper or whatever and just, you know, just trying to keep up with the skill set or whatever, you know. And every now and then I'll come up with something that I'll keep and I'll just ink and color and then go from there. But, yeah, man, the work stuff just gets in the way sometimes and it truly just drains you, especially this time of the year with the holidays, man, because unfortunately people start to show their true colors and, you know, it's not a good thing.
Man, I don't remember when I was there that it took any special season for them to show their colors, but they just turned up the intensity during the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's worse than the holiday season.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But we're looking forward to the holiday season.
Talking about the, oh, bringing up the little one, man. I love the way you post photos, man. That's, you know, it helps me try to keep up. But, man, he's growing fast, dude.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and it's also scary, man, how fast time goes and, you know, just leaves everyone and everything behind, you know. So it's a weird thing getting old, I guess. but, you know, I'm trying to cherish all the moments, you know.
Oh, yeah. They grow fast, you know. It just
– Oh, yeah.
It is – Well, the advantage you have, you know, in this time in technology-wise and all that, you know, we're growing up when not everybody could afford a video camera and stuff like that. That was the only way to do it. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, be – God, we, you know, with the kids – including Connor's earlier, it was still going to develop film. And that's a thing of the past. Man, you got to wait to, you know, you can record that information. Just, you know, remember to save it on multiple devices. You know, there
yeah.
are not enough thumb drives, dude.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, here's the big explosive news right here when it comes down to the kids. Rob, which all you guys know, my son Rob, he will be 21 in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. And, I mean, it seemed like just the other day, you know, I was boiling water and mixing Similac and watching him poop out the leg holes on me every time I was left alone with him. And now here he is, you know, 21 years old. And
Now don't tell us he's still doing it, Dave.
Nah, it just depends on what I cooked that night.
It just depends upon which hamburger helper Dave made.
Yeah, hamburger helper wear him out. you play hamburger helper survivor, the last one to go poop ends up winning, you know. But, yeah, I mean, now, has your boy gotten his legs yet? Is he crawling around?
Oh, yeah, he's crawling, man. He's a crawling machine. And sometimes I'll put him in the walker, and he's all over the place grabbing shit, going for the dog's bowls, chasing the dogs. Yeah. it's a funny thing, man. You know, I try to bring over to his grandma's house as much as possible, let her interact with him. I run a martial arts school now, so he's there every day. And when I open those doors and he sees those punching bags, man, he loses his damn mind. Like, he just wants to go over there and start slapping the shit. So he's ready to go, man.
Yeah,
wonder
where he gets that.
Josh, where's your school? Where's your school? Is it in Jacksonville?
Yeah. So my school is United Martial Arts Kung Fu Academy. It's on Henderson Drive. It's basically on that same little strip where Mai Tai's at. I just took it over for my teacher, who retired a couple months ago. So I'm kind of running the show now, and it's been a good learning experience as far as the business stuff goes. And it kind of opens up my eyes as far as, like, you know, the art stuff, as far as, like, doing that on the side, too, just kind of doing those two things. Because in all honesty, as far as, like, the martial arts go, I always feel like my attention to detail as far as, like, my art background goes kind of plays a certain hand in martial arts as far as, like, paying attention to details and, I guess you can say, seeing things that other people probably wouldn't see as far as detail goes, you know? But yeah, United Martial Arts Kung Fu Academy, man. That's where I'm holding it down right now.
Well, how big is your space? Is your space there? Now I'm fishing for something here. How big is your space there?
Oh man, I don't know about the I don't know about the square footage, man. I don't know all that information. I mean, I've got it somewhere, but I don't know by heart. It's not the biggest building, but I mean, we do the best we can with what we got, you know.
How many students can you work with in there at a time?
I would say...
Comfortably.
I would say maybe 15 to 20 at the max, depending on what we're doing. Kids, I can probably do a little more just because, you know, they're short and whatnot. But yeah, man, probably I would say around 15. Again, depends on what we're doing. if we ever work with weapons, usually, like, you know, spring and summertime and even the fall, we'll go outside in the back and do some stuff just for more space. But usually this time of the year kind of slows down as far as, you know, with the weather and the holidays coming up. And in all honesty, in my whole experience of teaching and training, especially in Jacksonville, you know, we work with a lot of military, and unfortunately, you know, they've got things to do, and they get, you know, deployed and et cetera. So sometimes, you know, they can be hit or miss as far as being in class go. But I tell you what, man, they're some of the best people I've ever worked with as far as training goes, man. So it all depends on people's schedules, you know.
Right.
Now, how long you been doing the martial arts? Because I know you've been doing it since I've known you.
Oh, man, I've been doing it well over 17 years now, man. It's been a big part of my life. Made a lot of sacrifices for, you know, the martial arts in general. I remember starting in high school with a couple of my buddies that were teaching, or not teaching, I'm sorry, that were training with my teacher, Bill Frost. Grandmaster Bill Frost, he is a ninth degree black sash in our lineage. I tell you what, man, that guy can do some out of this world kind of stuff, man, that when I was younger, I was just blown away about everything he did, man. But yeah, over 17 years been training,
wow,
man. And I tell you what, at 35 now, not that I'm saying I'm old or whatever, but I can say for sure that it's put a beating on my body.
Gotcha.
Now, how's your knee doing? Is it getting better?
Oh yeah, my knee's fine. Not a lot of people know that's probably listening or whatever, but God, was it last year or 2 years ago? But whenever it was, my knee had popped out of place during a sparring session. It was the weirdest thing. I was freaking out. I thought it was like an ACL tear or something like that. But when I saw the orthopedic and all that, from his examination, he just told me that it looked like my knee had popped out, and somehow I had popped it back in place. But it took a long time to kind of like truly recover from it. And every now and then I'll feel some, you know, tightness in it and all that. But for the most part, it's good. But I'm very mindful about what I do as far as that leg goes, you know, with kicking and pivoting and, you know, heavy loads on it or whatever. And, you know, sometimes at work, you know, work on concrete for 8 hours a day or whatever, depending on, you know, the shoes and all that, it can put a wear and tear, you know, on the joints in general. But I remember going back to work after my knee injury. Man, those shifts were long, man. Especially with some of the stuff I had to do, but it's good to go now, man.
That's awesome to hear. But just to help you put the time frame in perspective, Josh, I've been gone for more than 18 months.
Wow.
Just a hair over 18 months.
Man.
Doesn't seem like it.
Man, I'll tell you what, man, it's a whole different beast there.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man, I loved it last year, man. I loved it last year. I had no problem working there last year. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, things, you know, it's that old classic, nothing you love. What is it? Nothing you cherish lasts forever. Just one of those things, and, you know, Lord knows, it's sometimes it's one of those things where you gotta, I don't know how to put it, it's, you know, you hear the old thing, you gotta learn to let go. Sometimes it's to a point where you have to. You don't have to learn it, you just gotta do it. And, you know, it gets tough, especially when you've logged in so many years. And, you know, take, for instance, like Todd, for crying out loud, you know, he was one of the first guys that worked back there when they put that bakery up. And, you know, he'd seen plenty of people come and go and everything. And, you know, when he left, I'm sure there were plenty of times where, you know, he was at a new job and was kind of going around and it's like, well, I don't have Kiana to joke on today, and I don't have Liz to rip on. You know, it does. It's it is a change. But I'm telling you, anybody who's in the retail business this time of year, God bless them, because it's – and again, not to get on my retail soapbox, but it seems almost we're going in the opposite direction when it comes down to it. You know, so many people have voiced their opinion about Black Friday and how it's taken Thanksgiving away. And by God, the United States is the only place on the planet where you can go say grace, thank God for the blessings and the family gathering and the meal, eat a fantastic dinner, and then go out and beat the daylights out of one another over a $20 DVD player.
That'd be nice, Dave.
Know, so, yeah. And,
For anybody that's asking, look, it's going to be on all the social media again, newer editions and the previous editions that are on YouTube out there already. So he's not saying anything that ain't true, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Josh, the two of us had the pleasure of doing a Black Friday at a certain defunct toy store, and I'm here to tell you, I just marveled. First off, I'll go on and say, it totally just pooped the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving just became another Thursday. There wasn't, because the last thing you want to do is go eat, you know, 7-8 pounds of damn mashed potatoes and then try to go work a 15-hour shift. Especially
when there's
one
bathroom. Come on.
Oh yeah. I mean, we can all bear down some mashed potatoes, but
extra butter, and yeah, we're in good shape.
Hell yeah. But
I think working retail. Go ahead, man.
Well, all right.
I was gonna say, I think. Yeah, working retail. Like, I don't even think about Thanksgiving. I just think about Black Friday. Like, it's like, how am I gonna survive this? That's a stressful thing just to think about. Like, in all honesty, for the longest time, like, I didn't really think about Thanksgiving because it was more about, man, I gotta work, like, early Thursday afternoon for this crap to deal with, you know, people's nonsense or whatever. So I never really, like, it took a long time to actually appreciate Thanksgiving just because I was told, like, how to deal with people's nonsense, you know, like, right after dinner, whatever.
And it was, that was definitely interesting. It was, I was blessed enough to be working in the back. I kind of quarterbacked all the stuff coming out of the back room that Black Friday, so I wasn't out there, in the mix with the customers and everything, which was good. It suited my personality fine. But, again, it's just one of those things where, it just totally took away from the holiday and everything. And, yeah, unfortunately, it seems like instead of going back and these retailers saying, hey, you know, we get it, we're going to start giving our help, you know, Thanksgiving off or whatever, it seems like they're pushing more into the fact of just making Thanksgiving another Thursday. That's a damn shame, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, every time Business A opens an hour earlier, Business A's got open two, or Business B's got open 2 hours earlier to make up for that hour of money that they would have lost, you know, and they want to get ahead of them. Then Business C now opens 3 hours earlier. Shit, I can't believe how early stuff was open, God, 3 years ago on Thanksgiving. That was 3 years ago. I don't even want to know what it's like now, because I just... kind of the advantage of being up here, at least I'm secluded and, you know, I'm bunkered down. I'm just bunkered
John,
down.
John, you might be a little too young to remember this, but then again, you might not. There was a Dr. Seuss story called The Snitches, and the one snitch went in and got a star put on his belly. And then another snitch saw it, and he went and got a star put on his belly. Well, then another one saw it, and before you know it, all the snitches had stars on their bellies. And they're looking at one another like, well, I don't stand out anymore. I'm not special anymore. So the original one got the star pulled off of his belly. So another one saw him walking around with nothing on his belly, and he went and got the star pulled off of his belly. And before you know it, the guy who was supplying the stars and pulling the stars off, he basically just, for lack of a better term, raped the whole society and packed up and left. And at the end, the snitches are all kind of standing there with nothing left to show, and they're looking at one another going, wow, we're all snitches. You know what I mean? And that just reminds me a lot of...
Dave, did that book,
you gotta remember that.
Dave, did that book actually sell? That sounds horrible. That sounds like something I would write when I had the flu or something. Golly, oh, we're all snitches.
Actually, man, Dave, I'm gonna go with you. You ain't making this up.
No, you remember that story, do you not? They look like big yellow birds.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that what they were called, but I remember the story.
Yeah. And that reminds me, and the darndest thing about Dr. Seuss is that everybody celebrates him, but little do they know that he was actually a womanizer, and he had a wife at the house that was sick, and he was out banging another woman at the same time, and blah, blah, blah. But nevertheless,
what did he do? Hang out? He must have hung out with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hey, he did not hang himself. But it's funny how Dr. Seuss writes this book back in the late 60s, early 70s, and now here
well,
we are.
You know, Jeffrey Epstein did that on purpose. He did always want to tell people he was hung.
Yeah. Hey, guys, look how well hung I am. Yeah. You hear that they're actually charging the two guards.
With a federal crime. Yeah. Now y'all should have been on Murder 123 this Monday night. We talked about Epstein for an hour and a half, and I wrote the script. So, it is something else.
I mean, and let I go ahead and just take 2 minutes to divert conversation, but here you are. You have a huge, huge, high-profile detainee in your facility. All right, these guys who are wardens of these large prisons, they aren't people who manage the Chick-fil-A. They aren't guys who run the shoe store in the mall. These guys are very well-educated, well-trained, highly talented people who run these large prisons. Now, these little minimum security farms they've got around here in the country, that's one thing. But it ain't like it was on Cool Hand Luke where you got the guy in the white suit with the what we've got here is failure to communicate. They ain't got that. They actually have very intelligent, trained, college-educated people running these prisons. And I find it very
I like how you say that, like college education is really something special, because I've seen that disproved.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Dave, I've got to comment on something. You said it's not like running a Chick-fil-A. You're right, because none of the people who run the prison look at you and say, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, what can I do for you today?
It's my pleasure.
But
okay, I'm sorry. I'm being terrible tonight.
One guard was actually working a double shift. So he was working a 24-hour shift because guards pull 12-hour shifts. Okay. And the other one was apparently a guard from another prison that was filling in because they couldn't get anybody to come in for somebody that couldn't make it to work or some mess like that. So I get it. I understand. Lord knows, managing retail for 33 years, I get it. Sometimes you got to, you got to fill people in. But when you had Epstein in his cell, okay, how in the hell did these two, the guy pulling the double and the one that's never been there, Okay. How did they end up in Parker Epstein?
How did they
you know,
what?
You mean to tell me, out of all the guards in that place, they couldn't walk up, the warden couldn't have walked up to some of, you know, one of the other guards and say, hey, you're pulling Epstein tonight because so-and-so has already put in 12 hours, and you're covering Epstein tonight because that one's never been in this prison and she's just here filling in. How did those two bench players end up watching one of the most high, one of the highest profile detainees? It's just comical.
Yeah, but they're the ones being prosecuted. Think about that.
It's called Fall Guy. And I'm not talking about Colt Sievers.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna make a comment right here. I'm gonna stop this right now. Some official from the prison said that proves that Epstein committed suicide. And that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. That means nobody knows now because they never went and checked on him. I mean, they don't know if he committed suicide or not. They really don't. And for someone to come out and say that proves he's committed suicide, that is just, you know, I mean, whoever that dude is, he needs to be on the impeachment panel. He's just so crazy. Well, he does. They're all crazy. They're all crazy up there. And I love our president. I love him when he jumps to conclusions. And he's most entertaining when he just jumps to a conclusion. Well, I obviously didn't do it. That was great. They're in the middle of the hearing, and they get him at an airport and in an apple plant. Said, "Well, obviously, I didn't do it." You know, great.
You can cross one name off the list. It wasn't me. Yeah.
This is better than General Hospital. In the day.
Yeah.
All right, I'll shut up. Josh,
you got to be like, what the hell did I get myself into?
No, I just think, like, I didn't really ever keep up with that stuff. Honestly, I just follow the memes. It's so crazy how, like, our society has turned all this political stuff just into a bunch of memes, man. And that's the world we live in, man. A meme-full world.
It's a meme-full world. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. See, well, they always say people are meme.
But you know what this reminds me of?
What?
And oddly enough, Clint Eastwood, God bless the man, he's just released a film about it. You remember the Atlanta Olympic bombing, and they blamed it on that gentleman Richard Jewell, and they smeared his name all over the press. This poor man never recovered, though he had nothing to do with it. Wrong place, wrong time. That poor man's life never came back around, and he eventually died young. And you know, it's just a damn shame. So, you know, I wonder, A, these two guards are taking the fall for being put in a situation they should have never been in. And B, the other question is, are they taking the fall because they're getting a handout on the other side? In other words, are they going up in front of the press going, yeah, hey, we asked everything up, it's our bad. Epstein killed himself. We should have been paying attention. We falsified the documents. And as soon as they do that, the check goes in their pocket and they never have to worry about working again in their lives. So, hey, just saying. So that's my two cents.
So you're going with the theory that they'll actually last before they get to a point where the NDA is no longer applicable. I'm sorry, the non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if 20 years from now we get some story, some tell-all book where enough people involved have died and have no opinion anymore. And, you know, one of these two come up and say, hey, we were coerced, we were forced, we were X, we were Y, we were Z, and we agreed to take the fall, yada, yada, yada. And, yeah, I mean, it just stinks, the whole thing. But,
well,
you know,
end up in prison, and somebody else that's in prison with them will end up with money for their family, the money that you're claiming the guards would have got.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know what? You got, like, you got a license anyway. You got nothing to lose, but you can take care of your family.
Right. Knowing your wife and kids are good to go, your kids will go to college, blah, 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 blah. And chances are the kids were having a hard time getting into college on prison guard pay as it is, so perhaps.
I think less likely then that once again, when the guards get in prison, they'll never have a chance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
damn if I want to. Yeah.
And
he
I
would
bet
have
that
to,
a lot of it will stop.
I feel for him, though. That's something else.
It's a hot mess, man. So let me see what the hell's been going on. Man. All right, so Josh, Dave, and I worked together at a particular place for a while, and we saw a lot of the personnel turnover and stuff. Boy, we had one of those things today. We had one of the teams that put out the request and put out a request and stuff like that. And when I talked to a guy this morning, he's like, yeah, he goes, you know, make sure we double check who our contacts are. Only have these two here. Man, they had like a 7-man team. We only got two of those cats still intact. Dude, they just completely changed that team. Woo!
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah.
And it's not like now, two of the cats got better offers. You can never fault someone for trying to improve their stock, you know. Of those four, the other three, they just turned around and walked. It got effectively, I'm assuming that the pressure got too much, because what they got to do is they got a heavy load, but that was a trip. It was just unreal sitting there doing the stuff, trying to look, you know, you look people up in the system and shit, they're gone. They're just gone. Boy, that was something else.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you see that kind of turnover, but, you know, and that's one of the things, and you guys know this about the, you know, any business, John damn sure know about this, you know, it's about building those relationships and that teamwork and everything else. And man, back to a lot of relationship building there, you know, at least we got some stuff left in that, you know, in that particular pot to work with. We have our base seasonings there. Man, that's something else.
Yeah. Just
developing those new relationships all the time. A lot of energy spent at work doing that kind of stuff. I'm making a valiant effort to get us off the politics topic, just because. And Josh, you doing any time at the old place still, or are you completely done there?
Oh, I'm only there on the weekends now.
Okay, good.
And
good on you.
Yeah, that's become a burden in itself, man. Because I wonder, you know, what can I
understand
can be
it.
Investing
I know,
myself.
Look, our common friend Eric stepped down. I know.
Oh yeah, you know what, Mr. Hollywood, he's killing it, man. That's why I call him now, Hollywood. But he made the right choice for himself, man, and I think he's doing an amazing thing. And one day, you know, maybe he'll just, you know, he won't be there anymore because he'll be too busy doing what he truly wants to do, you know. And
you know what? I don't know if you know this story, but I'm going to give this to Dave because I was running lookout. Dave, you know where I'm going with this. We're Ernie Hudson.
Oh yeah.
This is a true story, Josh, because you know a little bit about how I am, and you know we don't work together real, real long, but you got enough of an idea, and you're damn sure not how Dave is. And so you can't put the damn two of us together. Not left to our own devices, it just doesn't go well. So we're at let me set the stage and I'll let Dave run with it. So we're at one of the Comic Cons there, right by Emerald Isle. I just won't say particularly where. It's a modified Chuck E. Cheese. And Ernie Hudson was one of the guests, and we knew for sure that our boy Eric and his family were getting in line, and Dave hatches his plan. I'm like, all right, you know me. I'll go down there and I'll be just talking to the other people at the other end of the line, and the other booksellers, stuff like that, and I'll give you the high sign when Eric's coming up to Mr. Hudson. I give Dave the high sign. He makes a break. He makes a break for Ernie Hudson's booth, and Dave, it's all yours.
Well, what happened, if you know Ernie Hudson, he's a spitting image of Eric. And for years, I've always...
Oh, man.
And we've teased Eric for years that he's Ernie Hudson's love child, right? And, I mean, the joke has gone on for years, right? So, we got everything set up, and I had kind of rubbed elbows with Ernie Hudson prior to the show and kind of, told him loosely what we were going to do. And so when Eric
How
got
was
up
rubbing
there,
elbows
Eric,
with Ernie, was that good? Was that good, Dave?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy, man. I mean, you could tell he was a little tired from the traveling. And that's the thing about a lot of these celebs that folks don't realize is that a lot of times when they show up at these cons, they're just getting in from the airport. So, I mean, they've already, you're bitching about standing in line for a half hour. Well, they've been in the airport since 03. So come 1,000, 1,100 hours, and you're in there going, oh, you know what? You're my favorite. And actually, I think you did a great job in this movie. Yeah, these guys are worn the hell out. So you could tell he was a little bit tired to start with. So, I had to kind of lay it out to him what we were going to do. And I think it would have helped had he known Eric to start with. But nevertheless, Eric gets up there and, Eric, God bless him. Whenever he goes, I remember we were meeting Ric Flair one day. And Eric was just sitting there shaking. I said, Eric, it's Nate. You know what I mean? It's no need to be. We're already one of the guys for crying out loud because it's Flair. Flair has no enemies. He has no strangers, So Eric, he gets a little riled up and everything. So, when he came by to see me, I says, you ready to go see Ernie Hudson, right? And he says, yeah, man, yeah. He says, oh, man, this is something else, man. Ghostbuster, I said, all right, dude. So, as what Todd was saying, he was running interference, and he flagged me down when Eric got down there. And I cut back behind the bowling alley side where the con was at because it's one of those entertainment complexes and came out of the other side of the curtain. And right when Eric was shaking Ernie Hudson's hand, I walked up to Ernie Hudson, and I says, good afternoon, Mr. Hudson. Hi, my name's Dave Atwell. I represent Mr. Stewart here. And it is to our belief that Mr. Stewart is an illegitimate child of yours, and I was wondering if you would be willing to submit to a DNA test before you leave the show this afternoon.
Damn.
And, dude. And,
Eric's body.
And look, honestly, those that know Eric know he can turn colors. Man, he can turn colors.
He went stiff as a board, and the only thing that turned on him was his head. His head did a 45-degree turn at me and looked at me like, huh? And to Ernie Hudson's credit, Ernie Hudson played it. He says, yeah, he does kind of favor me. Are you from, he said something about to where you're from.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah. In fact, I think I was over at the Lussie's table at the time. And I'm fairly sure they had to pick me up off the floor. I was dying.
One of the Hall of Fame pranks that we've pulled on one another over the years. So yeah, that was awesome. I loved it. Hey, but before we get too long in the show and we forget to mention it, Josh, first off, I need you to tell everybody about your comic book, first thing off, you know, tell them what it's about and how you worked on it. And most importantly, before we get done, we need to know how we can get our hands on it. So that way, folks that are listening can look it up. And, of course, you know, the shows are archived, so in the event they need to revisit, you know, they could check it out, and perhaps you can get the name further out there.
Sure thing. So the comic I made, it's a one-shot comic called Lionheart's March. So me and my friend Drew Rink, I'll have to make sure he listens to the show, that way he knows I give him a shout-out. It's based on his character that he created, and it's almost like we've taken, like, our Dungeons & Dragons kind of storylines that we used to do and kind of just put them into a comic book format. So with this one-shot issue, the main character, his name is Thorandir Lionheart, him and his group of knights are basically taking on a small little army of orcs. And it's just a simple little good versus evil type of tale, but near the end of the comic, it goes into a little more deeper storyline as far as, like, you know, a big bad evil trying to come back into the picture. And the end of the issue kind of sets up for the next one-shot character. That character's name is Prince Trevor, who's loosely based off of my friend, or our friend, Trevor Rao, who lives in Wilmington. So I drew the character to his likeness and his mannerisms and all that. And as far as that second one-shot issue goes, I started it a couple months ago, and in all honesty, I've not been back to revisit it. But I have some people in mind to kind of get to work on this project with me, as far as like inking and stuff goes, because I did the pencils, I did the inks, and then I did the digital coloring myself, and it took the longest time. I remember I used to show Dave some of my progress work and all that, but, you know, in retrospect, you know, with something like that, if I had really devoted, like, all my free time to it, I could have finished it in no time, in reality. But I kept taking these small little breaks, and of course, life gets in the way. But anyways, the comic book is all in color. Again, I had it published through Kablam Publishing. It's around 40 pages long, if I remember correctly. I have plenty of issues, you know, and copies to sell. And unfortunately, I don't have like an online store or anything like that on my Facebook page. But if I'm at any of these local cons, I know sometimes I'll set up shop at 2nd and Charles whenever they got special events going, or, you know, if we have any conventions coming up, I usually sell them there. And just because it's kind of like a self-published issue and like a one-shot issue as well, it's just going for $10 even. I sold quite a bit at the Greenville con. I actually had some guy bought an issue and the original inked page. So that was actually pretty cool to do. Because, you know, I know there's people out there that want those original pages, man. And, you know, I think this next go-round, I want to have my pencil separate and then get copies of the inked pages and go from there. But, yeah, man, it's kind of a fantasy-themed comic, man. It was a lot of fun to do. Again, pencils on 11x17, then I inked them, scanned them, and I colored them all in a Photoshop. So it was all a learning experience. It was a lot of fun too, man. But man, I tell you what, looking back on it, you know, the skills obviously improve over the years. So you can kind of tell where some of the breaks were at and some of the panels or whatever. But I had a blast doing it. And, you know, hopefully I can get a second issue out for that one shot again. And then probably go on to like an ongoing series would be the goal. But we'll see, man. Only time can tell. But yeah, I'd like to start selling more at cons, but I need to get out there more, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I tell you, that was a big highlight for me. You know, we were going to that great big huge monster Galaxy Con in Raleigh.
Oh yeah.
And the Saturday was something to behold, because Saturday, whether you already had your pass or not, they made you stand outside in line. And if you've ever been to that convention center in Raleigh, you know the place is cavernous. It's huge. And the line actually went around the entire facility, and they had to guide the line down a street, down an adjacent street, to keep it from wrapping two times around the building. And we're standing out there, you know, it's already 90 some odd degrees outside. And here comes Josh the Cherokee with the whole family and everything. And Josh walks right on up to me and goes to say hi. And of course he's heading towards the back of the line. And I'm like, bring it in, man. Good to see you. I'm glad you guys finally got here. We did the old cuts for the buddies. And the first thing he done is turn around and handed me a copy of that comic book. And I tell you what, it done my heart good, because I know one of the first days I met Josh and spoke to him, he showed me art that he was working on, you know, for that comic book. And it done my heart good to see it done and right there in my hand. I mean, it was a great feeling, and I know it was something he had put in a lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of heart into. And like I said, very proud, very happy. And yeah, you need to get more copies of that thing out, so, you know, don't be afraid to shout.
Oh yeah, I appreciate that, bro. I definitely had to give you an issue for free, man, all the support over the years. And I'm sure you know the feeling, though, man, to get, like, that physical copy of something you worked so hard on in your hands and see it, like, yeah, it's the greatest feeling, man. And, yeah, definitely had to give you a copy. I can't remember who else I gave some copies to, but, yeah, I definitely got to get it out there, man. I've got plenty to sell.
All right,
man,
well,
I actually...
Let's get on the focus on that side of things, because we're talking the story about what it's about, that kind of stuff. So how do people get them?
The comic?
Yes.
Oh, well, like I said, I don't have like an online shop or anything like that. And I've had people ask about, you know, if they can purchase it through online or whatever.
All right. So there's no way to order them ahead or anything like that. We got to catch you live. All right.
Yeah, unfortunately, at the moment, yeah, until I can set up something. I'm sure I can, you know, figure something out as far as, like, set up some type of online little shop. I've tried doing that on my Facebook page, but I don't even see an option to, like, you know, click to buy or whatever. But I just got to find something online, like some type of source. But right now, at the moment, if you can catch me at a show, man, like, I'll have those issues.
Well.
Absolutely. I want to get a copy of it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's that. You know, I'm thinking, here I am, half a country away now, and I'm void of the means. I'm sure we can come up with something. I got, you know, I suspect I got a bit of an insider's track. Going with that, because after, you know, I'm thinking, you know, like Christmas gifts for like my daughter, my son, my daughter-in-law. You know, Josh, I'm thinking signed copies. So we gotta do some IMs.
Oh yeah, gotcha, man.
Hey, yo,
speaking of cons, man, we got anything coming up?
Well, we're working.
Well,
on it, and I might have to give you a call here after the show, Josh. So let's leave it at that, and then we'll see if we can announce something sooner than later. How's that?
Gotcha. Yeah, sounds good, man.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what's coming up, we got Todd, let me just go on this real quickly. December 7th, Somerville Comic Con down there in Charleston. January, last weekend in January, Mid-South Bigfoot Conference in Aiken, South Carolina. February the 8th, Metro Comic Con, Raleigh, North Carolina. That one's mine. And Clemson Bigfoot Conference, March the 7th, Silva Comic Con. That's way up in the mountains. That is March the 21st. And then April the 18th is the Kentucky Bigfoot Conference. So, Josh, if you want to come to any of those, you got a free table, buddy.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I'll have to check my calendar and mark them in and see what I can make, man.
Check out Metro Comic Con. I think that's a good one. It's going to have about 45 vendors. It's in Raleigh, and it's not big enough. So they're already ordering a tent from a funeral home to go next to the building.
Okay. So people are dying to get in.
Oh, buddy, they are going to be well. As I call it, and then the information only unfold now. It really will. But as I call it, what do I
Much
call
like
it?
The test, it will unfold.
I call it the innovative Metro Comic Con will be held at St. John's Metropolitan Community Church in Raleigh. The innovative Metro Comic Con. You just watch. But Josh, maybe you can come down for that. That will be Oh, and we got Sonya Thompson from The Walking Dead headlining it, so should be pretty good.
Oh yeah,
we love Sonya.
Wait a minute, she's the one that's the zombie actress.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
she's
so
friggin' great.
It was so funny, and I've told her this before. The first time I met her, she was just some boring lady. And now that I've known her for 5 years, she is truly one of the most exciting, entertaining people I've ever met. Sometimes I just call her up and just say, talk, Sonya. And she'll just tell me what she'd been doing out on stage. She was a guest at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. She gave me a copy of her new movie called Zombie. I mean, you know, she's just a card. I love the lady to death. So, yep, she has gone from someone that I barely knew and didn't know why I wanted to know her to really one of my favorite entertainers in the world. And we got her picture right up on the Metro Comic Expo. That's what it is in Raleigh. And she cannot wait to get there. It's going to be a blast. So anyway, that's what I got to say. Yes, Josh, we got a few things and working on a few more as always. Can't not work on things.
Sounds good, man.
I will turn it. I will turn your TV set back over to David and Todd Saxon. That's how it is.
It's not like my train of thought freaking is going to recover from that. Ain't happening. I'm excited about this stuff. I mean, Josh, let me tell you, the guy that's sitting here half a country away, I really appreciate we work together, that kind of stuff, common background stuff, by the way, my son did marry that Filipina girl.
Ah, congrats.
Right? That part's in the family and stuff. So we just all those little things. So why I don't necessarily spend a lot of time on Facebook and stuff like that is just, one of those guys who used to work with stuff and, a common background and whatnot. I appreciate, the stuff you post. It's good to go. So, you do periodically, you do your stuff with the art. You got your other Facebook page about Jacksonville art. Talk about that.
Oh, what do I call it? I think it's like just the Jacksonville Art Club or something like that, or Jacksonville Arts. Something small I had made, and I was just sending out invites to people I know locally that do art, and just to kind of, post stuff that can kind of help inspire each other and all that. And again, I haven't posted anything on there in a while. There's an artist that lives in Wilmington named Mike Pigford, who I used to be a part of his little drawing group in Wilmington called Sip and Scribble.
He's awesome.
He'll post a lot
awesome
of cool
person.
Stuff. Yeah, he's a good guy, man. He'll post a lot of good stuff on there, and I'm always liking it. it's just good to kind of support each other because, you know, we're, as far as artists and people in the creative field, we're all in this together, man. So it's always best to kind of just, you know, support each other, man. There's no point in trying to, you know, trying to outdo one another or whatever, but instead just to kind of help inspire and help one another become better creative people.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. I wanted to make sure we got a little more advertising, talking about a little bit more of the stuff that you do. And that's back to the relationship building that I talked about earlier. That's that mutual support network.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys are doing. That's good stuff. That's where things should be. Big fan. Yeah,
like I said earlier, like everyone.
I was going to say, make sure on your page you talk about your school, too.
Oh, yeah. I actually have another separate Facebook page for my martial arts school. So I try to, you know, separate the two. But I'm kind of cursed with the non-ability to be able to handle other things or, you know, multiple things at once. You know, sometimes, like, since taking on the school, like, I feel like my focus has been on that just to kind of keep the doors open and the bills paid and all that, and I feel like it's kind of hard to slip on the side. But I didn't come up with this awesome – I came up with this awesome super tyrant drawing. If anyone's played the Resident Evil 2 remake, I posted that on the Jacksonville Arts page and my JNM underscore art Facebook page. That was a fun piece to do, and I did that on strictly on the iPad, so I just kind of just scribbled some line work and, you know, had some reference photos of that character, and I inked it and colored it, and, you know, it was done. So Procreate, if anyone knows about that app on the iPad, is an illustration app, which a lot of professionals use in the comic book industry and just any type of illustration industry for that matter, and it's kind of like a flawless tool, man, if you have that Apple Pencil, just to kind of take your iPad and bust out that pencil and just start doodling on that program. And what I'll do sometimes is I'll send myself an email as far as the JPEG goes from that program, and I'll just boost it up, or not boost it up, but I'll load it up on Photoshop, and if there's anything in Photoshop I need to do to it, I'll just go from there. And as far as, like, setting up files for print, so there are a few things that I haven't had printed yet, but, you know, they're just kind of, you know, waiting to be, you know, printed or whatever. But yeah, man, I bottom line is I need to do more art. So I know getting on the show tonight is one thing to kind of help get me back on track. And as far as the work stuff goes, man, if I, you know, if that situation becomes non-existent, you know, I might have to really pursue the art path on top of, you know, running a local business. But again, you know, doing the whole martial arts school has really opened up my eyes to just really investing in myself rather than into, you know, any company that can just replace you in a minute, you know?
Yeah. Josh, Todd, I want to ask Josh a question because something just occurred to me. Josh, do you know Spencer Fisher? Or do you know who he is?
No, sir.
Never heard. He was number two MMA in the world for a year and a half. And he's a friend of mine. And he has a studio in Silva, North Carolina, an MMA studio. And he is big time into the paranormal. I met him when I was one of the featured speakers at the Space Expo in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. It was me and Dave Barra from Ancient Aliens were the two speakers, and believe it, I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth.
Oh, that's fun.
And so when I got done and I was talking about my brand new book, Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, Spencer Fisher and his wife came over and talked to me for about 20 minutes. I didn't know who he was. And so anyway, he said, I got to see someone. I got to go back. And his wife said, I'm going to go with him, but we're going to come right back. So I'm real busy looking on my phone and find out he's one of the most famous MMA guys in the world. And, you know, got a chance to meet him. He's all into the paranormal. He's actually going to be one of the featured guests at the Silva Comic Con March the 21st in at the Jackson County Public Library in Silva. Now that's the home of Western Carolina University, and it's just going to be it's going to be a blast. If you have some vacation time, you might want to come up and meet Spencer, because he is such a great guy, and he was so famous and just so approachable. And then our astronomer guy, Eric Colley, he's a I think he's a brown belt in karate, and he brings his seven telescopes, and he became good friends with Spencer when we were up all up there at the Cherokee Comic Con. So I mean, it was a blast, and sent, because you've got this studio, that one might be, because you can come up there and sell your stuff, you know, and then hang out with these guys, because they might inspire you or lead to bigger and better things. No one knows, but I just thought I was, I had to get that out or I was going to forget it, Todd. I hope you'll forgive me.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned all the bigger and better things, because I've got some potential events in January as far as my school goes that can kind of help me get more exposure. So, you know, sometimes blessings come in, you know, disguises, man. It's the weirdest thing. And social media, man, sometimes it's a good and bad thing, man. But as far as those that news go, I mean, I'll be popping that online whenever I decide to pull the trigger on it. But it'll be a good thing, you know, personally and you know, business wise or whatever. But as far as the shows go, I know I've talked to Dave about it before, but man, I really need to just at this point kind of travel, man. Because you can only do so many local shows, and you know. It just gets to the point after a while where, like, you might not do as well locally just because, you know, you got to get out there and reach, you know, the different people and their different tastes and stuff, man.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
second Charles.
Get some market saturation.
Oh, yeah. I love Second Charles, and I'm always thankful that they would like to host me and all that, but – I mean, it's sometimes doing events there and little shows, as far as like, you know, setting up for free comic there, whatever, they can be a hit or miss. But I have learned, you know, the more work I have to show and offer, the better my chances are of having a successful event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say for the school, this was getting at when we went on to John stuff, the. Go ahead. Make sure you give me an invite to like it.
I might have already. I know. I would check your.
Already have. I may not realize it. You know, that's kind of the way I am. The thing is, because you know, my page, I spend half my time damn advertising for my people.
Yeah. Just double check your invites or whatever. One other announcement. Pertaining to the school, we will be in the holiday parade this Saturday. So Dave or whoever, if you want to let people know, my school and my students will be kind of walking out there on Western Boulevard, you know, waving at people and putting on some demos if we can. It's just one of those things where it's kind of hard to set up for because just the way the flow of traffic is for the parade, I can't predict it. So I have no control over it, but, my students will be ready to, you know, to do some performances if the
you know what?
The moment arrives.
Just give each of the students a quick kata, so when you get one of those quick pauses, they can get out front, do a quick kata, and move on.
Oh yeah, I've actually got different fight sets. So my oldest son, he's working on, he worked on two different fight sets with one of the other instructors. And it's some impressive stuff, man. Like, it's one of those things where I watch it and it's got this big old smile from watching them do what they do, you know? It's a beautiful thing with martial arts and the self-expression and all that. And then my other youngest son is, he's doing a three-man fight with two other students. And these kids are in the 8 to 9 year old range and they can do some phenomenal stuff, man. And I was talking to a member of the sports commission of Jacksonville. And I was just talking to him about how, like, you know, when kids stick with something for a long time it can really show others, you know, what you can achieve by, you know, keeping up with something, you know, whether it's martial arts or hell, art, you know. It's about self-discipline, really. So you'll hopefully we'll have a chance to kind of do that stuff out in the streets. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Well, that's great, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to close up shop here for the week. We got time to go around the ring and let everybody do their plug for the week or what's coming up. And then we'll head off into the sunset till next week. And so I'm going to start with, I'll go with Dave, then we'll go with Todd, and then we'll go with Josh. Then I'll close up with a plug or two and tell you who's going to be on the show next week. So Dave Atwell, what have you got to plug for Pop Culture Stars? Hello?
Oh.
Is Dave Atwell there?
I'm thinking that might be why he's been quiet.
He's never quiet.
Thought I heard him.
His connection might have dropped. Well, we'll see if he calls back in. Todd, what do you got to plug?
Hey, I'm back.
All right.
We're good.
There you go, Dave. What do you got to plug? We're waiting on you, buddy.
No, what I didn't realize is I hit the mute button when one of the damn Osprey was flying over, and I'm sitting here talking. I'm going, holy shit, man, they ain't hearing me. And then it finally dawned on me, I had the mute on. Throughout the show, I've been talking to our old friend John Dixon, colorist and everything,
yeah.
Living in
yeah.
Kentucky now. He's doing good. If you've seen Facebook lately, you know, Dale and I, we go out and we like to do the shell shooting on the beach because you never can tell what you're going to find on the beach. And he had clued me in on another location to go try out that him and his wife had hit many, many times. And we're going to go there in the morning. And, we're talking back and forth to him. So it was good to hear from old John Dixon, some of the old Comic-Con crowd. And he's doing fine. Him and his wife are having a very productive life with their moving on and helped John out with his health and everything, getting out of this humid, swampy weather. But when it comes down to plugs, I just want to, again, repeat what I said last week. I've had a wonderful weekend with my bride of 21 years. Sunday was 21 years for us, marriage, 24 years together. And, you know, she took some time off.
So. Oh, by the way, Dave, let me jump in here real quick. Cause you're, that's a Driftwood anniversary, right?
I guess that's what it is. It's either that
okay,
or Rat Poison,
so
one or two.
So did you celebrate it at the facility of the same name in Jacksonville?
No, actually, it's the Platinum now, believe it or not. But that's where we'll likely be celebrating on December 3rd when Junior turns 21. So I'll let him get a little more.
You're not going to celebrate at the Murder Lodge?
You know, me and Junior are going to go out motorboating. Looking forward to it. But, yeah, it was just sometimes, and going back to what we've said plenty of times in the show tonight, life gets in the way. And a lot of times there are nights when, you know, you come home from work and you got everything going on and you lay down in bed and before you know it, you're like, you know what, I hadn't even shook hands with my wife today. And it's just because of the hustle and bustle and, you know, you going this way and me going that way. And she's taking this week off from work. And, of course, with my change of lifestyle since March, it's just been nice for the two of us to be able to have time together where we're not looking at our watches going, okay, we have to cut it off because we have to be up at X30, or we have to cut it off because I have to be here at X30. And you know, despite the change in lifestyle and the change in finances and everything else that comes with starting your own business, I tell you what, it's been a nice week. We spent some time at the beach. We are actually going to a different beach tomorrow and, you know, doing the shell shooting and that kind of jazz. And you'd be amazed the stuff you can find at a beach. And we're really looking forward to it. So, again, like I said last week, I'm a lucky guy. And despite all the rotten things I've done in my life, somehow or another, God cut me a huss and did me a solid and got me somebody that was quality material. And, you know, here's the 21 years and 20 more if I live that long. But, yeah. Yeah, just a big thanks to my wife for putting up with me, and she's the best part of me.
Well, that's a great thing to hear you say.
Well said,
really.
Well said.
Thank you very much. All right, Todd, what you got to plug?
I'm going to plug the continuing resolution. Try to find that from the media. Just saying. Because I'm going to figure out a Friday morning. Because depending upon what you're seeing or not seeing in the press, wonderful how they decide what's important to talk about. I'll either be getting paid or I won't. And if not, then we'll see December 21st because we'll be right back in the same situation. So here's to the media, the continuing resolution, and no shit, real stuff. Dave, happy for you and Dale, brother. You know, good stuff. Definitely happy. I mean,
I appreciate that.
As it should be. And you know what, man? I know this is really a misnomer when I say little man turning 21. Son of a bitch, he was just 15.
I know it. And he's 260 now, and actually.
Actually, no, that's a damn lie. God, no. I don't even want to go back to what the math is. Yeah, leave it alone. Son of a bitch. He was. Wow.
Okay.
Wow, dude.
All right, Todd.
He's going to be 21. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. We got 2 minutes left. Josh, what you got to plug, and then I'll say goodbyes for us. What you got, Josh?
Well, I guess I just want to thank you guys for having me. It's been a good time just, you know, talking about art and you guys asking me about my martial arts school and all that. Because in all honesty, man, it's taking on this school and running a business has been, I guess you could say, the biggest adult thing I've done so far. But it's a good thing, man, because, you know, I got a little one that's looking up to me and I got two others to take care of. And I got my fiance, Cherokee, to worry about too, man. So I just want to make sure that my family's taken care of. And she's been the greatest help with all this too, and such a big supporter of everything that I do, whether it's the martial arts, and art. I mean, and Dave knows how much she's supported me over the years through the art stuff.
Absolutely.
And then in fact, I met her through martial arts. So, when I say my oldest son, he's actually my stepson, but I first met him when he was like 4, at the time. And I remember meeting her and kind of making fun of her name because her name's Cherokee. So I kind of just said, you know, like the Indian, and I did the la 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 thing, and you know, finished up school, and then you know, came back, and her situation was different, and that's how I linked up. But anyways, yeah, thanks for having me, and let's just keep supporting creative people, man, and support local businesses because those big companies out there, man, they don't care. But yeah,
that's
thanks
exactly
for having me
right.
on, guys.
We're glad to have you on there. Glad to have Dave. Glad to have Todd. I will say I'm going to plug the Krampus Festival December the 7th, December the 6th, and the Somerville Comic Con December the 8th down in Charleston, South Carolina. And next week, Zach Somoff, the artist from Charleston, one of the finest artists I've ever met. He's so good he works with me. So, look, we'll see you guys next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Comic on Pop. Oh, my God. I'm going back years.
Oh, yeah.
Pop culture stars. You guys be good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good night, everybody. John,
have a good one, guys.
Great, man.
Thanks, guys.
Great to have you.